In today's episode of the podcast, I've decided to challenge myself and actually talk to somebody else. So you're not just going to hear my voice, you're going to hear the voice of a guest. This is the first guest that I've had on the podcast, and hopefully it will be the first of many, not just appearances for this particular guest, but for other people who align with what I do, how I feel, what I want to coach, and ultimately what I want to help the listeners with. So we're still on the law of attraction. I think this might be part three, maybe. Who knows? Hi, I'm Paul Keenan, and you're about to start developing strength from the inside out with this podcast. I'm a personal trainer and mentor for trainers and coaches. With me, you won't get motivational fluff or hype. You will get a combination of brain science, real client case studies, transformational psychology, action steps, and some woo-woo wisdom, all rolled into one superset. If you're wanting more from your life, to feel better, look better, to heal, perhaps to have more and to be more, then this is the podcast for you. Because you're going to learn how to strengthen your mind and develop your awareness physically, mentally, and emotionally. All from the inside out. Welcome to the Mind Your Muscle Podcast.
I might leave.
Right. So, we're live and we have Linda on the podcast today. Linda is actually my first guest. I haven't had a guest on the podcast before. Yeah. So we have Linda Douglas, and Linda is a Reiki master practitioner. I will maybe let her explain that a little bit more in a second, but also pronounce it correctly. And Linda works with clients generally who are suffering with some form of anxiety, depression, mental health issues, and coaches in a way. And again, I'm going to let Linda explain exactly what it is that she does, how she does it. She's been in the business for about 7 or 8 years. And I have worked with Linda myself as a client. So Linda, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you on.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And for those who don't know about you, or who don't know about that word that I just used, which is Reiki or Reiki, which I am easier saying Reiki actually. And that form of like energy healing, how would you describe it or explain it to people?
Well, to keep it simple, Reiki is a Japanese technique. So it originated from Japan and made its way to the West. And it's really about helping with stress reduction, encouraging relaxation. And when the body's in a relaxed state, then it allows healing to take place for people. And that works on four main aspects: the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual. Doesn't matter what your beliefs are, it's knowing that it is working and it is channeling energy. Okay. And the energy is the universal life force energy, whatever we call that, you know, in terms of God energy, source energy. It's knowing that it's coming from a higher level, and that is being channeled through me to the recipient or the client that I'm working with.
All right. And that's, I mean, for me, as we've kind of been going through the podcast here, and I'm trying to structure it like it's a little bit of a journey, and I've talked a little bit about energy. And whenever I think I try as a coach, as a mentor, whatever, for people, and maybe talk a little bit outside the box. And you've mentioned working on four aspects there, which is like a 4D approach. I work on a 3D approach, which is the physical, mental, emotional, or physical, intellectual. And I class emotional and spiritual kind of as one. But what do you see as the difference there between spiritual and emotional? School me on it.
Yeah. Emotional is the emotions that show up for that person based on whatever they've experienced in their life, you know, their life difficulties. So that emotion might be something like anger, you know, frustration, happiness, excitement, love. Those emotions that we experience on a daily basis, you know, depend on our interactions with other people. And the spiritual side of it is different, because you are then connecting to an energy and you're tapping into that energy to bring that balance, you know, into your life and to know that there is something greater at work in the universe. And we may get an idea of that growing up in terms of whatever religion, you know, that we pertain to. But unless we have like that connection, then we don't really have a full understanding of how good that can feel for a person and how that can bring the body back into balance and allow that healing to take place. So we can't do it without it. You know, it's part of who we are and we exist because of it. And the more that we get on board with it, the better our life experience will be.
And whenever you talk about get on board with it, because this is something that, you know, I know personally I had resistance to. And it's all, I know it's always based on beliefs, but maybe some of the listeners out there are resistant themselves to even in listening to this. And like I know listening to me talk about energy or listening to me talk about source or use words like infinite intelligence or higher power or greater power. You know, is there like a, perhaps like a common perception or myth that maybe crops up in the work that you do or apprehension?
Yeah, of course, because it's different. It's different to the norm. It's different to what people have been brought up to believe. So we grew up, especially in our society, and we know that energy to be God energy. You know, that's what we know it to be, but we don't really have a full understanding of what that looks like or what that entails. So we have these ideas of what that might be, but it's not until you've maybe went through some difficulties and really tapped into that energy. And one of the best ways of doing that, which is what I found through the law of attraction, that I was able to understand that in a different way. So it can start off, you know, that you believe that there is something greater, you know, in the universe, something at work. We can't see it. We can't touch it. We know that it's there. And we know that based on, you know, how good our life is and the quality of our life and our life experiences and what we have went through and how we've been able to heal from that. And it's one that we can't do it without that help, that support, that assistance. It comes in different shapes and forms. And I think that's what people maybe struggle with, because we have this ideology of what it looks like, you know, the God energy, but it's so much more than that. And it's then just opening your mind to the possibility.
You used words there that are, you know, I feel they're important, that, you know, it's what we've grown up to believe, as in what we're taught as kids, whether in the home or whether it be in school or whatever that is. That's a belief that has been, I don't want to say imposed upon us or forced upon us, but in a way it kind of has, because we're not really given that free choice in terms of understanding and looking at other aspects or other opportunities, potentials to maybe learn different perspectives. We're kind of told, well, this is what we believe, so this is true.
Yeah. And that is the truth. There's the main institutions in our life, you know, as children growing up, family being the most important institution. Then you have education, schools and teachers. And it's whatever they bring into that, you know, whatever your own family brings into that, whatever that institution, you know, the school institution brings in. And it's not until we're adults that we actually maybe start to question that, you know, is that right for me? You know, do I actually believe in that? Am I properly connected? And sometimes, like you said, you know, that it is kind of not forced, as in, you know, not in a physical sense, but we kind of just go along with whatever our parents believed, you know, to be right, you know, and that's right for them. It's, you know, as we get older, we'll decide if that's still right for us, you know, and if that's in alignment with what we believe, and that may change for people. And that has certainly changed for me.
Yeah. And I guess at times, whenever people are looking at that and they're looking at maybe different perspectives and they're starting to question things, that it starts to bring up a little bit of a challenge on a personal level, professional level, relationships, obviously spiritual level in terms of what they're connected to and what they're believing in. And in terms of challenges as people transition, what's, like right now for you, what's the biggest challenge that you have in your business right now or in your role with what you do?
My challenge at the moment is still being able to offer the services for people that want it and need it, and not being able to have that physical contact because of the restrictions, you know, because of the pandemic. So I'm having to now rethink and do it different, and hence the reason why I'm working with you.
Okay.
To help me with that, to reinvent that in some way, and to maybe get that online, because that seems to be the way to go. And that means then being able to still offer those services for the people that want it and need it. But hopefully then to reach more people in the process.
And that it's kind of the same as dealing with a change in perspective or questioning, you know, spiritual beliefs, etc., because probably 12-18 months ago, well, definitely 18 months ago, your belief, maybe reading into it, would have been that, okay, well, I'm an in-person service and this is what I do. But now we're having to change perspective on that, and that's, I guess, where I'm coming in a little bit myself in terms of, okay, well, I'm going to offer a different perspective and I'm going to present stuff to you, and then perhaps you can see whether or not you agree with that and then where you want to go with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's being open to the possibility that change is inevitable for everybody in some shape or form, and it's whether you're able to bring that on board or not. And that's what I want, and that's where I'm at.
And that's going to provide, you know, I think both personal and professional growth. And I think it was Napoleon Hill said that change is inevitable. Personal growth is a choice. So it's, and it is kind of true in that respect. And this month, and it just kind of does coincide a little bit with February and being Valentine's month, etc. But that's not the reason why I'm dealing with the law of attraction. Like I said, there is a process, there's a structure to what I'm doing with the podcast, and it is kind of like a journey. And this is, for me, it's a massive part of the journey for helping people to actually understand a little bit more that, you know, they can start to have a little bit of what they want and not just what's, you know, just given to them. And, you know, I've been talking a lot over the last couple of weeks now as maybe people have softened to the message. So I'm talking a bit more about goals, and I'm talking a bit more about energy and a little bit on gratitude. So from my perspective, the way I've been coached and kind of taught and self-taught, etc., over the last few years has been around developing a picture of what we want, and really an understanding of why we want it. And that's just not personal and professional. Like, that goes with me as a PT and working with clients and actually asking them, you know, what is it that you want, and helping them get really clear on that. Because, you know, people just go, oh, yeah, I want to lose weight. Okay, well, it's a pound. I mean, if we work together for 6 months, is a pound okay for you? You know, that I'm always looking for people to get a little bit more specific and how we can measure it. And then obviously how we can work towards it. And that how is the biggest question that people are always struggling and fighting against. But from your own perspective, what do you feel is important, maybe for people who are seeking something a bit more either in their life or from their life?
Yeah, I've noticed now that we don't have the normal distractions, going on, where, you know, we're not able to go out, you know, to concerts, you know, we're not able to go out and drink, you know, in a bar, we're not able to, you know, go out for meals, we're not able to go to the cinema, all the things that we maybe did and maybe took for granted, kind of filled our lives, you know, with those outside influences. Now people are being a wee bit more reflective and introspective, and the things that maybe used to fulfill them, they're not there. So they're now questioning, you know, what is it? What is this about? And what do I actually want, you know, out of my life? And if we're able to get to that place, you know, for ourselves and ask that question, then I do believe that we are guided towards the answers of what that looks like. So.
And
yeah, just that. Yeah.
And whenever I think about that, and whenever we talk about, well, people have now maybe more time to reflect, what that actually does to me, and this is how, you know, the mind works really, is this brings me back to a point a few years ago where I had time to reflect. And at that point, maybe too much time. And with people being at home and maybe getting what I kind of describe as the four wall syndrome, and having that time to reflect and maybe looking at their life and thinking, you know what, this isn't what I want. And I don't just mean lockdown or restrictions. I just mean what I'm doing, who I'm with, what I have in my life, what's of importance to me. And for me, whenever I was going through that phase in that period, that brought on massive levels of anxiety.
Yeah.
And it worries me a little bit, in that I know that there are people out there who will be going through probably what I went through a few years ago, and are struggling to not just cope, but just to understand maybe why they're feeling that anxiety. And I know for me at the time, it was almost like it was an anxiety that was pushing me towards something that in the end I wanted, but I was so afraid of doing that. That's where the anxiety started to manifest. It was coming from fear, even though I wanted the thing, but it was such a fear around it. And what that was really was probably leaving the secure job I'd been in for 13 years with the massive pension, that job for life that everybody told me you can't leave. What else would you go and do? And I know not everybody's going through that kind of maybe situation or transformation, but it's that time alone to think that if we're not used to perhaps understanding our thoughts, that they can end up becoming really destructive.
Yeah, that is true, and really uncomfortable. And that is really difficult for people to cope with and deal with. And so that is bringing up, you know, difficulties on a different level for people that they haven't had to think about or deal with before. And it comes down to choice now, you know, as to what you do with that, you know. And that's the hard thing. Sometimes we do kind of resist it and think that it's going to get better by itself, but I know it doesn't. You know, having come from that same place myself, and struggled with depression and anxiety, it doesn't get better by itself. You've got to create the change, you know. And I think that's the difficulty. People don't know what that looks like. They don't know who to turn to. They don't even know if it's possible to change it. But it's to know that it can, and it does, you know, with the right help, with the right support, with the right tools. And it's just figuring out what that is for people, you know, what they want to do differently. And that if you can ask yourself the question, am I willing to change? And you are, then the help is there, the support is there. You know, the different way of dealing with that is definitely there and available. There's so much help out there now compared to how it would have been, you know, even for me going through those difficulties. We've got so much more awareness and support, you know, from so many different organizations. And everybody has something different to offer. And especially if you've came from that personal sort of journey, then you know yourself. I know what that looks like, how that feels, you know, to go to your lowest point, and then to try and find a way back from it. And that's the reality. That's what people are dealing with at the moment. And it's just to give people a wee bit of hope, you know, to know that if I can get through it, if you can get through it, anybody else can get through it if they want to. And you've got to want to.
And, you know, whenever we come to those feelings and those emotions, I know that what I was experiencing at that time in terms of the anxiety was very much physical, and it was like kind of gut-wrenching sickness in the tummy. And that leads me, you know, to where I am today in questioning what that actually is at times, because on one hand, you will hear people talking about, well, just go with your gut and that's your intuition. And then on the other hand, you could argue that, well, hold on a second, you know, is that actually the gut saying, no, don't do whatever it is that we're thinking about, whatever it is that, you know, is the dominant thought in there. So like, how can we tell the difference a little bit between, you know, that gut intuition or instinct and then actually subconscious beliefs that are holding us back?
Yeah, the gut feeling is a physical sensation in the body, and it is like a warning sign for us, and it's up to us whether we are open to noticing that, because the body's always giving us signals, and it does that through the physical sensations. So whatever emotion's showing up for you is common as a physical sensation, that you will feel that somewhere in your body. And the gut feeling is, if it feels right and it feels good, then it is right and it is good and it's the way forward. If it doesn't feel right and it doesn't feel good, that's your sign that it is not right and it is not good. And that is different from intuition. And so intuition is something that we know to be right, and it's outside of the logical reasoning that goes on in our minds. And when we learn to trust in it, it steers us in the right direction. So it's like a knowing that we have without actually really knowing where that's came from, but we just know.
And is that law of attraction?
That's not law of attraction. For me, that's something within ourselves that we learn to listen to and develop. And the more that we do that, so if we follow that guidance and things work out, then we learn to trust in that intuition. Equally, if we do the same with the gut feeling, the physical sensation, it's just another aspect of that, but it's manifested itself in a physical form. And it's learning to listen to that. So if we kind of override that, you know, that gut feeling of knowing, that's not right for me, that decision, that choice, why did I do that? You know, when you question that, but that's all part of learning and knowing that something's just not right.
Yeah.
And you've got to learn to listen to it.
And I think at times, though, it's in those instances and it's in those situations and those experiences and those feelings that you need an outside perspective on things to help you kind of wade through that, because it's not always clear. And, you know, even I know in the last couple of weeks that I've been speaking to a couple of women in relation to their businesses, and I had suggested a couple of things that they told me they felt a little bit sick, a little bit butterflies in the tummy. And then I kind of see that slightly different in terms of those butterflies is more, there's a little bit of excitement and nervousness there. Yeah. And that sickness is the fear and the unknown aspect of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
and it's different. That is different, Paul. And it's then being able to listen to your body and what signals, what messages is it giving me through those physical sensations. And it's different for everybody. what that looks like. So I know for me, what used to happen to me, I used to get this really strange feeling in my left foot. And that was my anxiety kicking in to let me know something's not right. Whether I was maybe feeling a bit overwhelmed, you know, in terms of responsibilities, you know, work, you know, and feeling maybe a wee bit of stressed. And it was my body's way of saying, need to take a step back. Now, until I learned to read that and listen to that, then that continued to cause issues for me. And that feeling of being overwhelmed or stressed. And that's different from excitement, you know, and yes, that we can experience a wee bit of fear around that because there's a change that's happening, but it's right. We still know that it's right. We're just trying to get past, you know, our own sort of fear on that. And that's different from something that's absolutely crippling you.
And in that feeling, in those moments that, you know, we are feeling it's right. For me, that is a little bit of what you're wanting in terms of an outcome, in terms of wanting to attract, in terms of what aligns with you as well. And just in terms of the law of attraction itself, as in attracting what you want into your life, have you any like kind of great or super examples, or, you know, kind of just way out there moments where it has shown up for you?
Oh, it's shown up so many times. Once I got on board with understanding how it worked and that my thoughts, my feelings, my beliefs created my reality, then I was able to take ownership of that and responsibility for that. And that meant all the difficult times that I'd been through were part of that, that I was creating that because of my thoughts. But then from that, you know, when you start to create that change, everything that has came as a result of that, you know, being able to work through depression and anxiety to get to a place where I felt happy and at peace within myself, and then to go on to start my own business so that I was in a place then to reach out and help other people that were maybe struggling with the same difficulties. That's all the law of attraction. And that's bringing that into reality, you know, allowing that to happen, you know, to take place. And we've got to work at it. You know, it's not just something that happens. Those thoughts will occur anyway. But when we learn to manage those thoughts in a healthy way and we become aware of our self-talk, and I wasn't taught that. You know, a lot of us aren't taught that growing up. And it's not until you've kind of reached your lowest ebb that you know that there's possible difference or change that needs to happen, and that you can go about creating that change. And the law of attraction is a huge part of that. And it's just helping other people understand that, you know, that we are responsible for creating our own reality, no matter what that is, the good and the bad within our lives.
Yeah. And it's something that, you know, I work through with clients or anybody that coaches. I suppose it's a cognitive behavioral therapy model with thoughts, feelings, actions, and results. But then I do believe there is that other layer to it in terms of what those results create and then what we make them mean. And that feeds back then into our thoughts and how we process those. But when it comes or came to, you know, those aspects that you talked about with the law of attraction working within you and through you, were you aware of it at the time, or was it kind of after that you kind of recognized that that's actually what that was?
No, like once I got on board with it, Paul, then I knew that that's what it was, that it was me that was attracting that into my life. It doesn't really matter what that looks like. You know, there's four aspects to that. If you think about work, you think about health, you think about finances and relationships, And so that's going to show up in different ways, you know, depending on whether you're in a good place with it or a negative place with it. And once I learned that concept of how it worked, that you get back what you give out, you reap what you sow. And once I was able to master like my own thoughts, and I don't mean like it's perfect, because nobody's life is perfect, and we still go through our own life challenges at times, and it still brings up different things. But for the most part, once I was able to get on board with that and understand it, then I knew everything that was showing up in my life was because of what I was thinking and what I was putting back out to the universe, and it was being reflected back. Yeah. So I know that now, you know, whether that's to do with money side of things, you know, finances. And what we've got to do is really strip everything back, all the things that we learned growing up. It's that we've got to unlearn and do it different, you know, with different tools, different techniques, you know, that can help create that change.
Yeah. And I think it was Abraham Hicks just kind of talks about that quite a lot, in terms of that aspect of what you've spoke about, and you know, that creation, and that we're always creating, you know, either we're either creating what we want or we're creating what we don't want, but it's us that's doing it. And again, through the podcast, you know, I've talked about responsibility as opposed to blame, and taking ownership and self-discipline. And ultimately, everything that I want to help people understand, that it's you, it's us, that we have that we're doing that, that, you know, we have that opportunity to be the cause of our lives and not just the effect. And in terms of, you know, being the cause of your life and being the best that you can, and feeling inspired to be your best self, like what inspires you, or what makes you feel inspired or allows you to be your best self?
Probably seeing other people, you know, transform and change. That inspires me, you know, if I've been able to help somebody or support them or facilitate something, you know, that's been going on for them or that they've been struggling with, that's my inspiration, you know, to keep going. And we only need to see that change or transformation in one person to know that what we've done is worthwhile. And that's what we do. We do that one person at a time, you know, and that's enough inspiration, you know. Anybody that has been through their own difficulties, anybody that has kind of went to that lowest point in their life and be able to come back from it, that inspires me, you know, because there's something within that person that is amazing, to be able to come back, you know, from that brink, because so many people don't, you know, life gets just too much. The pain, the hurt gets too much. And they take their own life. And it's really then just to let people know that there's a way through that, and it is possible, you know, to recover, you know, to heal, to change. So I love, you know, just listening to other people's stories, you know, of how that has happened. What did they do? You know, and then I can maybe take some of that on board, you know, for myself. And everything that I do with other clients are things that I have used in my own life, you know, to help create that change.
And whenever you're maybe working with somebody who's gone through that or going through that, dealing with it at the time, or you're working with somebody who has a lot on their plate, is an easy maybe way to describe it. And their mood, their vibration, their energy levels are really low. How does that impact on your energy levels? Like, how does their energy impact on you?
Yeah, it affects me. It does impact depending on what's going on for that person. And the way that I work, because I do work intuitively, a lot of the time I pick up on people's energy because we're all connected. So I don't need to be in the same room with somebody to know then how they're feeling or what's going on for them. And especially if there's a new client that's coming that I've never met before, I already get a sense of what's going on for that person. And if that energy is already heavy, and by that I mean like I will feel that heaviness maybe in my back, then I know that person's really struggling. And the more heavy that energy is, the more difficult, you know, their life experience has been, and that they're really struggling to cope with that. So it really does impact on me. And the great thing about it is that I have the tools to help clear that. So I don't need to continue, you know, to live with that or manage that, that I can clear that residual energy. And that takes time and that takes practice as well, but that's part of the self-care, you know, looking after myself as well. And it doesn't stop me from wanting to help people. You know, it's just, it's part and parcel of being able to do that and offer that help, and to see that weight being shifted or lifted for that person, you know, that load that they've been carrying, you know, that difficulty, whatever that is for them.
Yeah.
And for me to be able to help with that.
And I get that too whenever, you know, I'm working with and helping clients, because yeah, as a PT, 90% of people will generally go to PTs for weight loss. But the reason for weight gain in the first place isn't simply just about overeating. It's overeating because of underlying issues. And whenever we start to work and get to the bottom of that, I find sometimes that my energy levels are drained. Yeah. It's almost like I'm taking a part of them onto me, but maybe at the same time, I don't always know how to shift that on. And it's like, kind of, you know, it's like you're taking a fiver off somebody and you want to spend it, but you don't know how. So, you know, I think that's something that I need to explore more. But what I want to pick up on is just something that you said there, that you said we're all connected. What does that mean? Like, how the fuck, okay, I do curse on these from time to time, but how are we connected? How can we all be connected?
I know it took me a while to sort of get on board with that as well, but it's the energy, you know, that God energy, you know, that's in each and every one of us. We can't exist without it. And that comes from the universe, you know, whatever you want to think of that as. And everybody kind of knows that, you know, there is something greater at work, you know, within the universe, even if they're not sure what that is or what that looks like for them. But because of that, you know, we are all connected. We're all connected to that energy, you know, and that's, we're alive. If we weren't living, you know, then even beyond existence, you know, that energy continues. And that's, some people have difficulty getting their head around that, you know, dealing with that side of things. But it's eternal, you know, that it can't die. You know, it just changes form. And it comes down to the energy and how we think of energy, and that we are always moving and vibrating, and that's always changing. But we are all connected because we all have that same energy within us.
And how do you, as a Reiki, how do you say it? Tell me how to say it properly.
I used to say Reiki, but, you know, you can say Reiki, you know, Reiki, whatever works.
I just like saying Reiki because it reminds me of kind of in my last job, whenever you used to go and snoop on people. So it's like you're kind of getting inside information. I kind of see it like that. So I'm just going to continue with the word Reiki. But how do you see energy? Like, how does that come across for you? Like, I don't know, you like, you're obviously not going to be able to paint us a picture, but you see and feel things or whatever in a different way than others.
Yeah.
So like, how can you describe that?
Well, I see it as, so if I was just looking outside and just allowing, you know, my eyes, you know, to soften, you know, the focus, I can actually see it vibrating. So I can see it with my physical eyes. I'm not saying that everybody can do that or see that, but what I see it as is, the best way I can describe it is like tadpoles. So it's like wiggling, but there's lots and they're like white. And it's just that vibration of that energy. When I'm looking at somebody, you know, if there's a client that comes to me, then I can see their energy in the form of their aura. So each and every one of us has an aura. So we have an energy field out, you know, around the physical body. So I will see that as light. And the happier that person is and the more at peace they are with their life and where they're at, the brighter that light is, the more connected they are to the energy, you know, the God energy, the universal life force energy, the brighter that light is that emanates. And sometimes then I see colors around the aura as well, and that indicates what's going on for that person. So sometimes if I see like a blue color, then I know that person is struggling with communication because it's connected to the throat. So we have seven main energy centers in the body, and each of them serve a different purpose. So the colors then reflect what's going on for that person. So I get to see those colors for people at times. Then because I'm connected spiritually as well, I would see light, like flashes of light around people that lets me know that they are also connected. And the more that I see, the more I know that they're connected. I also see colors, like orbs, like circular colors. And that is also connected, you know, to the spiritual realm, in particular the angelic realm. And I work very closely with the angelic realm.
Okay.
So I see all of those things.
And do you take medication for this?
No. No.
Because I know that'll be on people's minds. It's like, okay, yeah. So this is like now getting really weird. If they're still listening to it, my 10 listeners or whatever I have, I don't know how many listeners I have. Hopefully over the years, as people look back and they go through this podcast, it's still going and this is of value to them. This is the longest podcast that I've done, by the way, 40 minutes. You have doubled my time. So you love talking, all right. But what do you love talking about? Like, what could you talk about for hours?
Well, I love talking about people, as in whatever people are going through. I love knowing people's stories, you know, what difficulties they've been through, what's happened in their past. And I find that fascinating because it gives me a better understanding of where they're at, and the sort of things then that can maybe help that person move forward if they're stuck, you know, or they're struggling to move forward or create that change. With that comes the spirituality side of it. And I just love that. And I love talking about the spiritual side of things, but also everything related to the universe and how it works, energy, the law of attraction, what you give out, you get back, and how that impacts on people in different ways. And even with that, you know, the emotional side for people, because it's known a lot of people kind of only touch the surface, you know, of what's going on in their lives. But I know there's so much more to it. And when we can tap into the emotional energy, then we get to have a better sense of what's going on for that person and what they're dealing with and who they really are, you know, as an individual, and not this pretense that they put out to the world.
So those are all like, so that's what you love talking about. What are you apprehensive of talking about? Or is there anything that, you know, maybe because of public perception or opinion, or like, is there an elephant in the room that right now you're maybe, you know, you want to talk about the people, you want people to know about, you're just like, oh, you got to know this, but then you kind of hold back and you don't.
Yeah, no, not now. There's nothing that scares me. There is nothing that, you know, people would say, oh, I was going to tell you about this, but I thought you might think it's a bit weird or a bit strange. Honestly, there's nothing that surprises me or that I won't talk about for people, because even if it doesn't resonate with me, you know, if it means something to that person, then it's important. And it's so that people can just be as honest and open and have that communication, whatever that looks like for them. So there's nothing that I won't chat about. I have my own opinions about different things, but those are my opinions. That doesn't mean to say that that's right for everybody. And everybody's entitled to their own opinions and what they believe, you know, to be true. And it's just whatever that looks like, you know. So there's nothing now that I wouldn't talk about. When I was starting out, even talking about Reiki to people was a big thing because it was different. And people don't like change. They like the status quo. You know, in our society now, it is changing slowly but surely. And it needs to, you know, so that people can be more open-minded and allow different concepts, different ways of doing things, you know, to come into their lives that just might help them have a happier life balance.
Yeah. And I'm glad you said no, because I don't think anybody who says that they see white tadpoles in the street can say that they are
not in the street.
But as we're kind of going to wrap up here in a minute, if there was one piece of advice you could give to anybody listening about how they could connect more to what they want or to what's important to them, what could it be?
That question that we talked about, what do you want? Because when you bring it back to what do you want in life, then that gives people the opportunity to figure out, you know, am I actually happy where I'm at, you know, with my relationships, with my work, my finances, my health? And if there's something going on there, then, you know, am I willing to change that, you know, so that I can do it differently? So I would say to people, just, you know, ask that question, you know, and find out, you know, go and read books, you know, go onto the internet, whatever that you sort of feel inspired to do, you know, to connect with other people, you know, that are doing this same maybe type of work, and figure out what that looks like for you. And that's it.
And I think what I want to kind of back that up a little bit with is that, you know, if people are going out there to, and maybe questioning, you know, where they're at with their life and their relationships and money, you know, health, whatever, to go and ask the question, what do I want? But don't put themselves under the pressure to find out how that changes or how to change it. Because I think at the same time, it's massively important to ask what we want, to know what we want, but we very quickly can get lost, stuck, and afraid of not knowing how to change it. And sometimes we just got to sit with that thing for a while. You know, I kind of always talk about putting the car into neutral, because you're never going to go from first gear to third gear until you go through neutral. And it's the same with going from from fifth gear, you know, when you're changing down the gears, you always have to pass through neutral. And if you're somebody who likes to save on fuel like I do, you'll coast a little bit in neutral from time to time. So I think that's important for people as well. Whenever they ask that question, to not just expect to get their answer right away and to not freak out whenever they don't get their answer. So this has been a long one. It's been a big one. We're over 45 minutes. But just as we finish up, how do we connect to you? And I mean like on social media, not spiritually.
Yeah. So I have my own business page, Linda Douglas Therapies. So you can connect that way with me. You can go on and have a look at my page and see what I do and what I'm about. And I'm also on Instagram, Linda Douglas 04. And those are the two main channels at the moment. Hopefully I'm going to add to that soon.
Okay, well, those are the channels that are available whenever you connect, probably to Wi-Fi, but there will be other ways to connect to each other in the future because we are always connected, and that is one of the takeaways that we can use from this episode. So Linda, thanks very much for coming on. I appreciate the openness, the honesty, the help, the support. And just for anybody out there who is listening, who is maybe struggling with any aspect of what we've talked about, you can get in touch with me, obviously, through the Volume Fitness pages on Instagram, Facebook. You can also contact me via email, paul@volumefitness.co.uk, or find a way, all right, to connect to us. If you need to ask a question, don't be afraid to ask the question because questions get answers, and that will always be the case. All right. Thanks again for coming on. Thanks for listening, and I will catch you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the whole podcast. If you're someone who enjoys seeing other people grow, then please share this podcast with your friends and family. If you found help through my voice and message, then I'm sure that they will too. So please share it on social media, share it via text, WhatsApp, and your DMs. Be present, challenge your own beliefs, trust the process, take action, be the community. So please, for every episode I share with you, I'd love you to share that podcast directly with someone else. And if you have questions, I'm there to help too. You can email me questions to paul@volumefitness.co.uk. I might even use your question for a future episode. And lastly, I do have one more request. And you only have to do this once, by the way. I want to reach and help more people, and you can help me with that. So if you can, please leave my podcast a fantastic review on iTunes. That way we can both help others gain strength and belief, all from the inside out. Thanks for listening.